Hi Church, welcome to the second service of 2021. I'm so glad to have you here with us. I hope you had a great start to the new year. Last week, Pastor Daniel talks about first thing first, how we as believers should put first thing first in our lives and major on the major. And Pastor Daniel talked about this idea about having a heavenly mindset, how we should set our minds on things of birth, so that we can pursue our things of God. And I believe that there are so many things that you have learned, and this heavenly mindset should influence the decisions that we make, the things that we see in our life, and how should we live our lives and spend our time. Today, we are here not just to have another sermon, but we are here to hear very practically how certain of our friends and the fellow believers in church have done just that, how they have put God first in their lives. So today we are here with a few of our friends today, the two beautiful people here with us. Thanks for being here with us. So maybe you can just do a short introduction about you guys and what you're doing right now. So Marcus, you can go on.
Hi, my name is Marcus. I'm happily married to my wife, Serene, for 2+ years. I came to know God when I was a 13-year-old boy in church in the Ablaze Youth Ministries. So I served in the youth ministry for 16 over years before actually moving up to the adult ministry in 2019 to serve with my wife in the Bedok South sub-zone. And I'm now working as an engineer at DSTA, Defence Science, for about 4 years now. Yeah, so that's the short intro about me.
Okay, thank you, Marcus. Also, since some years ago in church till now, wonderful in doubts.
Yep.
All right.
yes.
Angelina, yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Angelina. I'm married to Huan Yan, and we have 2 girls. One who is Janelle. She's turning 2 end of this month. And another, Jenna. Sorry. She is 4.5 months old. So we are zone leaders of Bukit Panjang. And I work in Singapore Institute of Technology doing corporate planning work.
I see that Huan Yan is not around today.
Yeah, so he's actually down with quite a bad stomach flu. Yeah, so we are here.
So that's why you're here by yourself. Just we actually planned for him to be here, right?
Yes,
a couple of days. Yesterday we received the news he's sick. But thankfully you are here today.
Yeah.
Okay. Xiaoping, yourself?
Hi, Morning Church. I'm Xiaoping. I'm 49 this year. I'm actually a colleague of Marcus. Yeah, I'm happily married to my wife, Cui Xuan, for about 20 years. We have 2 boys, Yize and Yirei. They are 17 and 15. Currently, they are actually with our youth ministries. So I came to know God when I'm 28 years old, and it has been a 20 years journey with God and counting.
Wonderful. So 20 years with God and counting. I love that. All right, much more. Greater years ahead of us. We are in 2021. Okay, let's start. I know that there are many things that you guys can share today, and there's many experiences that you guys are going to share. So let me start with Marcus first. Marcus, I know that you started serving in church since your youth days, and from youth days to the adult days, I'm sure that the struggles in putting God first changes. I mean, there is a different set of struggles. So right now, as an adult, how do you continue to prioritize God in your life? I'm sure that it is not easy, but I believe that you're still trying to do that in your life. So what are some common struggles that people in your life station face as well?
Wow, okay. So let me just share a little bit from a young adult's perspective. So the main struggle that I faced when I started work like 4 years ago was that, every time, when you're young into the workforce, the main emphasis is to build your foundations right.
Yeah.
It's like, our own spiritual life, we want to build our foundations right. And that's the most pivotal part of the whole process of the journey, right? So likewise, in the workplace, you want to establish yourself strong, you want to have your foundations grounded, you want to start off well. And because of that, of this mentality, you have this, I want to chiong, I want to shine, I want to do well. And this drive and endeavor will kind of like pressurize you and make you feel insecure at times.
True.
So this whole mindset of FOMO,
FOMO is a fear of missing out.
Yeah, the fear of missing
out. Just in case Xiaoping don't understand.
Yeah, so this fear of missing out, you know, will I lose out to my peers, actually creeps in quite a bit during my whole 4 years, especially so when I, you know, serve in church, when I have multiple responsibilities, like, you know, I work from 8 to 6, then after 6, you have to meet your mentee, you have to meet your life group, you have to, you know, fork out your weekends. So, you know, this whole FOMO, when I compare myself with my peers, is the main kind of like, you know, insecurity that you are kind of facing. And on top of that, you know, there are two things that you have to manage, you know. Firstly, you know, your time management. And, you know, everyone is hard-pressed on time. Like what I just mentioned, you know, when everyone has the same set amount of time and how you use it. So if, let's say, I have other things I have to split my body into, like I have to spend time with my life group, I have to spend time with my friends or whatever. So time is a valuable resource that I struggle with heavily. Then the second thing is energy management. Yeah, I mean, it's true, right? You split yourself so many times, your energy is depleted. How do you find
tired.
The energy? Yeah, you feel tired. And, you know, together with the insecurity that, you know, what if my peers shine more than me in the workplace, you know? That thing does have an effect on me, lah. Yeah, so that's my main struggle and challenge as a young adult starting in the workforce, in the government, yeah.
I'm sure that these are very common struggles, not just you face, but even actually as we move forward, even, you know, I mean, as a young parent, you know, for Angelina, for Xiaoping, you know, where you are right now, you know, there's more responsibility. We all face with this time and energy management. But for you, you know, Marcus, how do you continue to obey God, to put Him first in your life? Maybe are there certain principles that you hold on to? Are there certain practical things that you do to make sure that you manage your time and energy better?
So maybe let me caveat to say first, I'm not there yet. You know, I'm still struggling with it. But I think these principles that I have lived by actually helped me to manage it in a victorious manner. So I think I'm very thankful to have a workplace mentor, and he's also in Hope Church. His name is Atuan. So when I first went into DSTA, he was very nice. He took the initiative to meet me out for lunch and to just, you know, catch up with me, ask me how am I, and to download some of his valuable advice. And Atuan is actually one of the high top management in DSTA. So I'm very thankful to hear from him. So one of the things that he shared to me that is etched into my memory till today, and I've been trying to live by it, right, was that he asked me this question, very interesting. He asked me, "So Marcus, who is your boss?" So I was like, okay, I was about to share to him my physical boss, but then but that's not the answer that he was trying to ask me. So Atuan actually shared to me, who is your boss? Like, really, who are you living for? And he was sharing to me that to him, his real boss is actually Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And that to me was like a very mind-blowing statement, you know, to a fresh grad coming into the organization, and this top management guy asks you, who is your boss? And he shares to you, it's Jesus Christ. So that to me was like, wow. And he came on to share to me that, you know, at the end of the day, if you know who your true boss is, you know, you will live your life very differently. Now, are you living just to earn your A grading in the civil service? Are you earning, you know, to just get your 3 to 5 months bonus, blah, blah, blah? Or at the end of the day, do you want to receive the accolade from God Himself? You know, well done, good and faithful servant.
Awesome.
And that was something that was, it struck me. Like, yeah, I never ever had I, you know, seen work in this perspective, that my work ultimately is for Jesus Christ. I'm working for Him.
And this is the heavenly mindset that Pastor Daniel was talking about last week.
Yes, precisely. So, you know, and he shared to me, after he shared to me this, I tried to hold on to it. And, you know, till today, this is one of the principles that I live by. And, you know, also on top of that, right, one of the Bible verses that spoke to me, you know, heavily in this whole 4 years as I'm working, and hopefully I hope to cling on to it all the way, right, is from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And Daniel chapter 6 talks about how Daniel under, you know, a country mandate, you know, that everyone must pray to King, must, you know, kind of pray to King Darius. Yes, you know. But, you know, Daniel, you know, being the top civil servant, he was still able to, like, hold on to his priorities. And he decided, you know, no, I want to serve the God of Israel. And I love Him and I want to pray to Him instead. And he prayed to Him 3 times a day against the country mandate. And that was something that was like, wow, like, this was a very biblical principle that I captured. And it teaches me two things. The first thing is, you know, we must ring fence our priorities in our lives. And, you know, for example, like, you know, one of the things that I ring fence, you know, are my family, my wife, Serene, you know, I ring fence my life group because these are important things.
What do you mean by ring fencing? Maybe we can elaborate more on this idea.
So ring fencing is like you are kind of like carving out important space, your carving non-negotiables. Yeah, you keep them in this sacred space that no one can touch. Just like Daniel, right? No one can touch my intimacy with God.
I see.
Yeah, so I guard it well. No matter, even if it's a country mandate or it is something that my organization wants to do. But as long as within this ring fence space, I will not touch it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, for example, in my life, right, one of the things that I carve out strongly, okay, like, is my life group and my wife. So these are the key things that I ring fence. And how come I ring fence these few things was because of what Atuan shared to me. He was sharing to me like how he ring fence his life is that from 8 to 6, for example, he's a DSTA staff. And because of that, he worked his guts out like during 8 to 6. But after 6, once he leave office, he is a full-time father. He's a full-time LGL. He's a full-time mentor. And he's a full-time husband.
Wow, so good.
Yeah, so these are things that he ring-fence very tightly because he know that these are important things in his life. And likewise, that kind of passed down to me. And I told myself, as I start out in the workplace, I want to get these foundations right. Yeah, not just working hard for the organization or for my own career. I mean, those are important. But, you know, I ring-fence these things so that I prioritize them in my life. So that's the first thing, ring fence. Then secondly, you know, the thing that I learned is to reorder my life to fit God in, not the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah, so for example, one of the things that I reorder my life, you know, kind of fit God in is because I have life group on Fridays, okay, and sometimes if I have to serve like as a worship leader in life group or I'm teaching in a life group, I know that I have to come to life group earlier to prepare, right? So I know that I need to leave office earlier on a Friday. So on my Fridays, right, I will always reorder my life to go office early. Like so that I will go extra early so that I can try to clear as much work as possible. So that I can leave on time to go for life group and do
especially
my...
Especially on Friday you do that.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes I will take Grab. Because sometimes I'm too tired, right? You just want to sleep.
Yeah,
I know that I have to go work early so that I can leave early. So I take Grab, I go early, I leave my kopi and teh in the office to start my day, right? So that I can be as efficient as possible.
Wow.
So that's one of the ways I reorder my life. And I got one more interesting story. So actually, I'm managing a project in DSTA. So there was this period where we had system acceptance test. So basically, we had to do some rigorous testing for the whole week from Monday to Friday. So during that week, I knew that, Friday, once Friday is concerned, it's like touching into my sacred space, right? So I tried to reorder my schedule. So I told the project team, hey, you know, guys, shall we try to pack as much as possible from Monday to Thursday so that Friday, right, we can have our TGIF, that sort of thing, So I tried to, coerce them to, fit into my schedule,
Do it in a way that they understand.
They understand.
TGIF.
TGIF. So to them, it's like TGIF, but to me, it's life group day.
Okay.
So I did that. And they agreed, So because of that, I was able to go for my life group on Fridays. Usually when you have this sort of rigorous testing, it's quite hard to have life after 6 p.m. because you have to respond to issues, you have to do testing and stuff like that. So during that week, I managed to go for live group on Friday. But okay, the funny thing, the ironic thing was that something happened on that Friday night. Something failed, there was an issue, and then we had to work on the Saturday. So I had to work on the Saturday that week. But then the good thing that I feel up to today is that I know that God is the one that looks at our hearts, and I know that at the end of the day, He's pleased with me because I reordered my life to fit Him in.
Wow.
And I'm still gunning, for Him to tell me this at the end of my life. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It seems these are very good practical points, and even though there are some, you did your best, but if things don't turn out the way, you know that, hey, I really did my best to ring fence those areas
that
God has said these are important areas in my life.
Yep.
Wonderful. So I hear about ring fencing, I hear about putting God into your life and making sure that you reorder your life to fit God in and not the other way around.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So let's hear from Angelina. I think if you look at Angelina right now, right, you might think that it's winter in where she's sitting now, right? But actually, it's not, So because I think I know, because in the last few months, you have quite a health issue that you're grappling with. So maybe you can start off with that so that otherwise people look at you and they are very concerned, how come you're wearing so thick, By the way, we are doing this filming, this recording, right, during the beginning of the year. So if you remember, right, at this beginning days of the year, it was so cold, everyone was putting onto social media, very cold, very cold. But this is not the normal cold, okay? So, okay, Angelina, your story.
Yeah, so I think basically after I gave birth to my second child, my health hasn't been very good. So I feel cold really easily. So even on normal days at home, I'll be wearing like long pants with socks and a jacket, and then I'll have like towel around my neck to cover, like, to keep myself warm. Yeah, so I think it has been like that for the past about 4+ months. Yeah, so even going out has been a huge challenge for me because at where I stay, the wind blows like right through the living room and the wind is very strong. Yeah, and I think the past few months also has been pretty cool. So going out is just, it has been a huge challenge. I don't think I've been out of the house much also. Yeah.
Wow. So it must be so tough and challenging for you in the last many months. And how hard was it? And how do you struggle through it?
Yeah, so I think one of the key challenges I faced was this whole idea of mom guilt. Actually, this whole idea of the mom guilt I have towards my two girls started even before I delivered. So it started when I was pregnant with my second girl at the start of the year. So ever since I got pregnant, I experienced very sharp pains that affected my mobility a lot. So coming in and out of the bed, you know, sitting on the floor and coming out was a huge struggle for me. And you imagine at that time, my older girl was like 1+, right, where she's learning to walk, she's learning to be a lot more active, she's starting to hop, jump, run around, and that was when I was not able to keep up with her. So the funny thing was ever since she started to learn how to walk, she's able to walk much faster than me, and a lot of times when I do go down with her, they tell her, you need to slow down, you need to wait for Mama. Mama cannot keep up with you. Yeah, so so I did tell myself, you know, after my confinement, I'll make it up to her. I'll make sure that I go down with her, I bring her to the playground, do things with her that I was not able to, like, you know, to carry her and things like that. Yeah, but ever since I delivered, so like I shared earlier, my health hasn't been good. So all these things that I thought I could do after confinement, I was not able to do. Yeah, I think it got worse over the past few months because, so initially I thought, maybe my health is just a bit weak. Give me another month after confinement, I should be better. Right, another month passed and I still didn't get well. And in fact, I caught another cold again. So it was another relapse, you know. My body got even weaker. And then just as I thought I was getting better again, I had another relapse. So it was this yo-yo, you know, kind of status of my health that made me very discouraged. And there was a period of time where I was so weak that I literally spent most of my time in the room, you know, with the windows closed. I didn't even dare to go to the living room because of the wind and the gust that came in. Yeah, so I think at that point I was really depressed. I remember crying out to my husband. I was saying, when would this end? Because I can hear my girls, you know, demanding for my attention, especially the older one, right? She knows how to talk now. So she'll call, Mama, Mama. And she'll say, come out. Yeah, then I was like, can you come into the room? I can play with you in the room, but I cannot play outside. Yeah, then she's like, no, I don't want, you know. So it makes me feel like, you know, what kind of mother am I? And then for my younger girl, even though she doesn't know how to talk, but I also can't carry her a lot because I feel very cold, but I perspire a lot. So my whole body is wet and soaked. And you imagine if I'm trying to put her to sleep in a carrier, she gets soaked after that also and she'll start squirming. So most of the time, I don't succeed very well in doing that. Yeah, so it really got me to think, you know, what kind of mom am I? I'm not able to do this basic caregiving for my girls. Yeah.
Wow, must be so tough. So what I'm hearing you is that your body gets so cold and you're unable to generate heat. So that's why you have to wrap yourself up and you have to stay in the room. Otherwise, you will catch a cold.
And yeah, that's right.
Thanks for coming here to do this interview and braving the cold and being here. So church, you know, can you help me to just give Angelina a big hand to encourage her? You know. So what I really want to find out, what motivated you? Kind of, because at this point, right, many of them and many people I see would just give up or just say that, hey, maybe I don't go to church and if there's such a thing, I wouldn't be there because I would just take care of myself and maybe I recover. Why think about others when I can't even save myself? So what motivated you to continue to serve and to put God first in your life?
Of course, I struggle with those thoughts. I mean, in the times where I was just so weak and I'm wondering, you know, when will I ever get out of this darkness? I did ask myself, why do I continue doing what I'm doing? You know, why bother to attend LG? We do it via Zoom and why do I attend to even tune into sermon where I can just, you know, continue to sleep to try and recover? Right. But at the end of the day, I think when you truly know the gospel, not just in your head, but in your heart, and you internalize the implications of it, that's when it all fell in place for me. So, I mean, I didn't start off like this. Early on in my Christian walk, I always had this perception that God was a killjoy and a sadist. So whenever things was going well for me, I would start to have an immense fear that God would take something away. Yeah, and every time, you know, something bad happened, whether it's a family member who fell sick or something that I'm struggling with, I would always tell God, like, oh, it must be you again, you know, that you just cannot let me enjoy life as it is. Like, you just have to take something away. Yeah, so there was always that tussle and that fear in me. But I think over time, this perception I have changed, especially after I attended a group class on Romans, where we talk about what the gospel was. Yeah, and I remember during that session, the teacher was just saying, like, would you continue to serve God if God doesn't bless you? At that point, I was a working adult already, right? So one of the challenges and struggles I was going through is finding a life partner. And I think once you start work, actually, it becomes quite difficult to find because in my workplace, it was pretty much all girls, right? We had this joke where we say that we had a single girls party. Like, literally, there were out of 10 of us in the office, I think 9 of us were girls. So, you know, how do you find your life partner there? Yeah, and so that was something that I struggled with. And so the teacher was saying, you know, what if you never find a life partner? What if, even if you do get married, you're unable to have kids? Or you have kids who are born with some sort of disability? Or you find out that your parents have some terminal illness? How would you respond? Would you still choose to serve God? Mm. And for me, I was really stunned because I have been serving God since my youth days. I came to church in secondary school and I've been serving God ever since, right? So it was just unthinkable, you know, why would God not bless me in these areas if I had given my youth to God? Mm. Yeah, and I remember that the teacher was saying that, you know, at the end of the day, even if God doesn't bless you in any of these areas, God has really done sufficient and enough for you to serve Him. And that is by giving Jesus Christ that saves us from eternal hell.
Amen.
So at that point in time, I was like, okay. I mean, intellectually, yeah, I know that God, you know, gave us His Son. But I grappled with it. I grappled with it for the next, I think, one plus year, just trying to understand what does it mean that God has given me His Son. Yeah, and I think, I spent the past 1 year praying through, you know, what does that mean? And I think God revealed this to me that when I saw God as a sadist, as a killjoy, that was because I perceived that, you know, I've served God so much, you know, like this much, right? And what God has blessed me was only like that. Yeah, maybe a stable family and a job, right? But in actual fact, you know, God has already blessed me with so much through His Son, Jesus Christ. And actually what I deserve was nothing. It's not even nothing, it's negative, which is hell, right? Condemnation. Because of my willfulness and my sinfulness.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think when I had that perspective, right, of what I deserve versus what God has already given, then that became my motivation to continue to serve Him regardless of what happens and what life circumstances I'm facing. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good. You know, I really think this can resonate to many people because, I mean, for those of us who are watching and maybe we struggle internally to put God first in different things and areas in our life, probably the issue is not just the practical things that we might be talking about, but it is really our understanding of the gospel. Because if you truly understand the gospel and what God has done through us in Jesus, I think that how we will wrestle and fight to put Him first in our life because we're so grateful for what He has done for us. So that's a good thinking point, I think, for us to chew on and to think about this in our lives. Now, back to, I think, living as a young family, I think being... I to me, this is one. I mean, I'm in this life station as well, and I must say this is one of the toughest life station to serve. Or maybe I feel this way. Maybe every life station feels this way. But as a young family, you have you're always facing with fatigue, not enough sleep, literally because your kids wake you up, and you have to when you want to go out to live groups, to mentoring, sometimes it's not just you go, but there's a lot of logistical issues to manage. So how do you do it? How do you and your husband kind of like overcome these challenges or manage these challenges? And maybe are there some practical tips that you can give to people who are listening and watching this?
Mm. So I think first of all, as a couple, right, we decided that we'll serve God regardless of what we go through. Right, so that was the basis. And we told ourselves that, okay, whatever life challenges may throw at us, we would then learn how to work around the limitations we have. So that's one. I think the second one is then to accept that serving God could look different in different seasons of life. For example, doing block pastoring as a married couple without kids was relatively easy because we didn't have to consider what time it was. We could stay out, you know, as late as we wanted to hang out and to get to know the residents. But when we had kids, especially when we had our first girl and we brought her along for block pastoring, it was really a challenge because we had to take consideration her feeding time, her nap time. Then when the weather is too hot, she gets cranky. You know, so at that point when we brought her for block pastoring, she was like between 6 months to a year old, right? So where she still needs a lot of attention, she's not very mobile, you just have to carry her in a carrier and just move around. And I remember at that point, we just started block pastoring and getting to know the residents there. And a lot of times I was just ended up at the playground area, you know, just with her, you know, just trying to feed her, trying to put her to sleep. I was not able to do the actual, you know, block pastoring and getting to know residents. And I questioned myself, why do I even bother to bring my girl along when I don't even get an opportunity to interact with anyone except my daughter? Yeah. But I think what God showed me is because I brought her along, I mean, there were times that I struggled, where she was cranky, I had to make milk, I had to change the diaper all at the same time, and Huainan was upstairs, you know, doing the door knocking. So what happened was actually the moms around the playground saw, and they came over to help me with Janelle. And that actually became the bridge for me to get to know them. Right, so over time, you know, when they saw us, they're very happy to see us and see, hey, you know, Janelle has grown again. Janelle got a bit more hair now because Janelle is known not to have a lot of hair. Yeah, so over the months that they see us and see the kids grow up, they are a lot more warmer to us. I think initially when they saw the group of us gathering there, they always wonder, you know, what's this group of people doing here? They don't stay in this estate, so why are they always here every 2 weeks? Right, but over time, it's like, hey, you know, they get to know us as individuals, as a family, so we became like more like friends, you know, people who just talk about, you know, what motherhood, the struggles and things like that. Yeah, so I saw how, you know, bringing kids along for ministry, while it has its limitations and constraints, but yet it opened up the door for us to do so much more. And I think to warm up people's hearts also, right? So, so I think that's how it has looked different, you know, with kids and without kids. Mm.
So
yeah.
I suppose that you and your Huanyan has to really serve together like a team.
Yes.
Like two of you have to plan things together, to work things out together.
Yeah.
You know, what are some practical things that you could, that how can, you know, fellow families who are in your situation, I think they might think that, hey, maybe I wait for my kids to grow up, then I serve, right? Maybe, you know, there are certain things that they can do right now and we can all, you know, serve the Lord together as a family.
So I think in the example I gave earlier on block pastoring, right? What would happen is like, we do a tag team. So one of us would be focused on handling Janelle. So in the initial days of block pastoring, because we didn't really know the neighbours very well, right? So I was more focused on the caregiving, while Huanyan would go out to get to know and know, literally door knock and get to know the neighbours there. But over time, because the mums all came up to me and started talking, so we had our own, you know, mummy's chat in the playground. So what Huanyan would do then was to bring Janelle up to do the door knocking so that I can have more quality time to connect with the mums. And that was very helpful, you know. So I think this whole role and responsibilities between me and Huanyan is pretty dynamic, you know, depending on the needs of the situation, we just adjust accordingly. So another way that we see us working as a tech team also, I think, is when we prepare to come to church before the COVID days, right, where we gather physically. So at that point, Janelle was still, I think, about 1 year old like that. And because we don't have a car, right, so we do need to spend quite a bit of time travelling. It takes us about 1 hour to come to church. So we have to plan, you know, work backwards the timing. And for Huanyan, right, being on time or early is not 10 o'clock when service starts. Being on time or early is like 9:30. By 9:30, he needs to be in church. Right, so for him to be there at 9:30 means like we have to work backwards. Like, oh, okay, so what time do we need to wake Janelle up? What time do we need to start preparing and cooking a porridge and things like that? Yeah, and so it was a common understanding that we needed to have, I think, between a husband and wife, so that you don't end up quarrelling in the morning about what time I need to wake up, because I struggle with waking up in the morning, like, terribly. Yeah, and I think how Huanyan helps me in this area is, number one, he does all the packing of her diaper, her clothes and things like that. He also feeds her in the morning so that I get the rest that I need. And all I need to do in the morning is just, you know, wake up, change. At that point, I was breastfeeding, so I had to pump, and then we were ready to leave. And I think that really helped to alleviate a lot of the preparation that usually falls on the mom. Yeah.
I really like the effort and the heart that you guys put into it, because you have decided, it's almost like what Marcus said just now about ring fencing, right? Like, I got to be there early, and not just because, you know, because we're leaders, but hey, this is an important thing, you know, we got to be there, whether we have kids or not, you know, let's be there early. And of course, this speaks to many people around, because I know, because some of us are in church early, you will know, right? At certain timing you come, you know how many people are there. So this is a lesson, you know, for every one of us to learn this. Hey, is this important for us? And if it's important, and this is really what God wants me to do, and God is really first in my life, I got to ring fence it, and then I got to plan for it and make sure that it happened. So I love that very practical thing. All right. So thank you, Angelina, for sharing. Yeah. And Xiaoping, let's come to you. And you have been serving God for a long time. And in this many years that you've been serving the church, how do you continue to stay on fire for Him? How do you continue to make sure that you continually put God first through the various life stations? And I'm sure that the struggles that you face now in your life station is different from back then. I'm sure that what Angelina mentioned, you have faced them as well. And you know, if you have anything to add upon what they say, you could say as well. But in your life station, what are some struggles that you face, and how, you know, how, help us understand.
I think because having been a Christian for about 20 years, sometimes people in our life station will go onto an autopilot mode when it comes to serving God or when it comes to church. Yeah, so I think it's important for us to be reminded not to set into spiritual complacency.
How does this autopilot mode looks like? Describe to us.
Oh, okay. Perhaps attending life group or even church regularly. Yeah, but I think but did not have breakthroughs in our spiritual walk with God, or you know, when our walk with God is not close,
So everything is just like a routine and more mundane. Okay,
right,
okay.
Right. Yeah, okay. I think the second challenge that some of us felt is the emptiness syndrome, So you know, when we are young, like when I'm in Marcus' age, right, we work very hard to provide for our family, Yeah, so at the point of time when our kids need our time, a lot of time we were not there for them. Yeah, and now the irony is that, you know, when we have more time for them and we want to engage them, you know, they already have a life on its own. So in a sense, we, you know, a lot of time we go back to empty nest at home. And so I think at this stage of life, what reminded me is that the challenge is that, you know, how to really keep our relationship with God fresh and thriving. At the same time also, how to keep the relationship with our spouse fresh and thriving.
So what are some things that you do to keep your relationship with God fresh and thriving? Because you mentioned about the autopilot mode that I think sometimes being a Christian long, we do face it as well. You know, just like we heard it before, you know, we heard this sermon before, you know, I know what these people are going to say. So how do you make sure that you keep your heart and, you know, kind of like a childlike before God, and whenever He speaks, you are there to listen. So how do you do that for yourself?
I think a lot of time for me personally is how to keep sensitive to God, prompting. So for example, winding a clock a few years back, right? Me and my wife has been running a Sambong life group for over 10 years. You know, we did a lot of things with the life group. You know, we have very close friendship. We did a lot of things together. There's breakthrough in spiritual life of members. The life group grew. However, subsequently, after many years, right, we sort of stagnated. Because life group sometime will become a routine, and we find that we don't have new breakthroughs in our life, So, but God is good. I think as I think He can see our heart, So there are opportunities that came by subsequently. For example, regionalization of the church came about 4 years ago. So at the point of time, me and my wife were called to lead Sampang Zone. Yeah, so to us at the point of time, this looks like a role for an MP. But I think joke aside, we were a bit apprehensive and we are not prepared. We do not know what to expect.
I see.
Yeah. But I think God God is good. We sort of responded and take on the ropes and also learning the ropes. There are new things for us to learn. So we thank God for this new opportunity because it refreshes our walk with Him, and it also allows us to learn and try new things. So some example, for example, is that we try to start a young adult LG. Yeah, but you know that our age and their age is almost 2 times difference. Yeah, and so far we don't have experience running young adults LG lah. So we sing zi po po, we try to we engage them, we went jogging with them, makan session with them. Yeah. But however, I think the taiko is really too big lah. We can't close the gap, and subsequently, gradually, they are transited to other zone. Some other challenges we face is also sometime later we tried to start another adults group in another region in Sembawang. This is a new area lah. However, subsequently the member also left, and this time to other church. Yeah. So we actually face challenges along the way. But I think God is good lah. He provided along the way. He gave us support from members, core team, and leaders lah. From the life group lah. And along the way, as we allow God to work, right? We actually saw His footprints along the way, and this sort of reminded us lah that about how real God is. And it encourages us as well. And it really refreshes our relationship with Him all over again.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So how is Sembawang like now?
Oh, okay. So God has gracefully grow the flocks in Sembawang. So currently we have actually 2 family life group, 1 adults life group, and also a young adults life group.
Wow. Yeah. So I like the fact that, you tried, but you all failed, didn't succeed. You all still raise your hand and say, okay, taiko doesn't matter, right? Yeah. Generation gap doesn't matter. Yeah. Let's do it. Didn't succeed. But right now, as you try and you learn, and God added upon you, So right. Wonderful, right. I really like this, how your attitude and the really trying. And you say that gets you refreshed. That keeps you kind of like a see what God is doing in your life. So yes. I really like that, So anything, you have something to add?
Yeah. So I believe that I believe that God has a plan for all of us individually. Be it leadership, be it mentoring, or be it in the area of meeting a need in the community. I think if we were to embrace it, we will be able to contribute. Not only will we be able to contribute, I think at the same time, more importantly, it is also the experience that can actually brought us closer to God. So I think that is very key. And like what Matthew 22 says, right? That the first and the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. So I think we need to continue to actively engage God to really build our relationship with Him.
I love that. I love it that you, throughout so many years, your heart, the position of a heart is always wanting to love Him. Always wanting to serve Him, always wanting to know Him. It's as if I know that, anytime that God calls you, you're ready to respond. And for someone who has been in church for so long, who have lots of experience, you can do, there are many other things you could do, but you continue to choose to serve Him. I really, really thank you, Xiaoping, for doing that. What are some kind of maybe practical advice you can give to people on how people at your life station, maybe they can also respond, they can also do and serve other people around in the church?
Okay. I think some example is to really look at the needs around us. I think for our zone, we have a lot of married couples. So we saw a need to actually provide support in the area of marriage. So now at this stage of our life, when we have more time on our own, and me and my wife, we have the same interest in this area, we actually took out the opportunity to be trained as a marriage mentor. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that God opens doors. Because After we graduated from the course, not only we are able to mentor the local couples, God also opened doors for us to be able to use what we learned to actually minister to young couples and families in global mission. And this slowly also give open up even more opportunity for us to take care of couples and life group in one of these cities.
Wonderful, Xiaoping. Yeah. What are some final encouragement that you can share with your fellow peers or people who maybe, in this live station that you're in, you're saying the whole empty nesters live station, right? What are some encouragement you have for them just to motivate them and help them see that maybe some of them, they can restart their engine. Maybe some of them, the better days are ahead of them.
Okay, I just quickly share 2 points. First point is that I think when we serve God, we need not compartmentalize our service to God and also our family. So basically, like when we are serving God all these years, right? Like the experience we shared just now, I have to do a lot of planning with my wife. We got to complement each other as we serve. We also learn new skills together. So I think through this, it sort of also bond us closer together, lah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, when we attend life group or we do mentoring or traveling overseas for mission, right? It also become part of our couple time. Yeah. So what Proverbs 11 share about, you know, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed as well. It's really very true. So I think even as we serve God and His people together, ourselves will be refreshed as well. The second point I want to share is also one verse that our family claim very closely on, which is a very common verse, which is like, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all will be added unto you. So I think this verse really resonates with us very clearly through the years. Because I think as we serve God, right, through the past 20 years, we never see God shortchange us. So it actually reminded or dawned on me that, hey, you know, how can I take care of my family better than God, right? So why not we have a paradigm shift? You know, we serve God and really allow room for God to take care of our family.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Xiaoping. You know, church, wherever you are watching, help me give a big hand, you know, to just all my friends here who are serving God and just sharing their life experience with every one of us, you know. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for sharing your thoughts today. You know, I'm sure that, church, you have gleaned a lot of wisdom and a lot of lessons from many of their lives and from yesterday's, from last week's sermon. And I hope that in this coming week, you can take some time together with your LG to come together and take some time to think about this whole things that you have learned and to examine your life before we move in fully for the whole year in 2021. Make sure that we put first things first. Make sure that God is at the center of your life. Make sure that He's number one. Because when that is so, you need not worry about what other things around. Because you know definitely for sure that He is truly Lord of all. I want to challenge you, church, to put into practice what God has spoke to you. There are very practical things that God is nudging you and tugging in your heart. And today, respond to the Holy Spirit. Put Him first. That's what the Bible says. And all these things that you need will be given unto you. Jesus gave His life for you so that you can live for Him. Amen. Shall we pray together? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving us your life. Because of that, we know, God, that when we put you first in our life, there is a much better life that we can live, that we can never imagine and do by ourselves. And today we want to trust you with our lives. We want to trust you with all that we have, so that, God, as we put you first in our life, as we set our hearts and mind on things above, we'll be able, oh God, to live for you. We'll be able to see what truly you can do in our lives, what you want to do in our lives. And the greatest reward that we are looking forward to is not just a blessing here on earth, but the greatest reward that we already have and we are going to have is found in Jesus Christ alone. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for abundant life that you've given to us. I commit this and I commit the church into your hands. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.